Hello, everyone. My name is Jeff Thorson. I'm editor-in-chief at XYHT Magazine, and welcome to our latest installment of Measure This, the podcast about all things geospatial. The podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Trimble Geospatial, where they pioneer the future of data intelligence with innovative products for use both in the field and in the office. Today, our guest is Doug Reed, President and CEO of Meridian Associates, a Massachusetts-based civil engineering company that uses a number of different geospatial technologies. Among them are LiDAR-equipped drones, and today we're going to talk about a recent project that shows how these drones and LiDAR can save time, money, and risk on infrastructure inspection projects. In this case, it was keeping an eye on a historic 189-foot chimney on the campus of Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts. Traditionally, doing this has meant time-consuming and costly efforts of building scaffolding and having inspectors climb up to precarious heights just to look things over. But in March of last year, Meridian Associates launched a small drone with a high-resolution camera and essentially made the job look easy. So, Doug, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
So let's just start with the basics here and tell us how LiDAR is better than a conventional survey in this instance.
Sure. Well, we're probably all familiar with survey as it historically has been for thousands of years, probably, as you essentially are using originally it was like a telescope that's where you could point and measure very accurately in angles and then measure distances. It was largely manually. For probably in the digital age, they started converting them to infrared or laser based, but it still was like measuring from point A to point B. And you got a readout on an LED, and that was the distance, or that was the angle, the height of something, or the width of something. So that was what the survey world has been operating under for a very long time. And then what's happened now is, with technology continuing to advance, is this light-emitting laser technology that, instead of that one data point going out and telling you how far something away, far away is, the devices can send out millions of laser bursts and collect literally that many data points in just seconds. So what that does is allow you to then scan an area instead of a discrete point and receive the digital information back in three-dimensional form. So every little point that comes back is three-dimensional, height, location on the planet, and so that can help. That's exploded really the market for what conventional survey could do. So now we have a device that can do that. You can also do it from pretty far away, but in some cases when there might be something getting in the way of that signal, you can then mount this equipment on a drone or on a vehicle. And that's the difference between a terrestrial LiDAR would be on the road or on a vehicle or on a tripod. And then the aerial LiDAR is on a drone or helicopter or an airplane, well, anything in the air. So that then feeds into a massive database, which now software has got the capability of turning that into three-dimensional images that is not, that kind of looks like a picture, but it is actually every little dot on there is a very precise measurement of that, whatever it's pointed at. It could be a tree, it could be a building, or in this case at Phillips Academy, it was a smokestack. So the floodgates have opened for LiDAR in almost every industry to use in just thousands of different ways. But it's still kind of in its infancy. And so when this project came along, Phillips Academy wanted to be innovative and creative, as they are, one of the leading preparatory schools in the country. So they had this challenge in this old facility. This old smokestack was first erected in 1902. And it was built because of a power plant that generated heat for the campus. And coal was the main fuel, as probably most power facilities that were in the country. It's gone through a lot of different upgrades and expanded dramatically. The building around the heating element, heating units, the smoke stack largely stayed the same. It's now been turned into an electric plant, and it is also now fired through by oil now, fuel oil right now. So as such in this age, and it's important to maintain it properly. If you imagine something this large and it's made out of brick, so it has a lot of bricks and a lot of mortar, and the mortar doesn't last, because everything that's brick and that mortar is going to dissolve, especially with the elements, our acid rain here in New England, wind and so on, freeze-thaw cycles. So to prevent the to maintain the structural integrity of the smokestack, it needed to be inspected and repaired. So the school had been conducting these inspections about every 5 years. Now, the conventional way to do this was to construct scaffolding all around it for the full height. And so expensive proposition, bringing in a contractor to manually erect scaffolding all the way up and all the way around the facility with a weather protection for the workers. And then from that point, they can inspect the integrity of the brick and of the joints and any other pertinences like access, testing sites, so they could measure what was going on in the smokestack from outside. But all of that kind of inspection was a manual process, and it took quite a long time. This was literally, six, nine, 10-month project every 5 years to erect the scaffolding. So even with the conventional survey, that didn't really help them, because it was just sending out that one data point, which is really good for property surveys, that the what's been surveyed for a long time. But now with LIDAR, what you're able to do is to mount this laser that sends out this mass of signals and can very quickly get all these data points. Now, in this case, it also, we mounted this on a drone. So then you literally, in about a span of about 4 hours, can fly the drone, use the LIDAR to pick up the data points that is reading in intricate detail down to the 0.1 millimeter accuracy of what's happening on the surface of that stack. Now, in this particular case, we are largely using the photographic evidence from this. This device takes conventional photos as well as the digital data points. So in this particular project, the focus was more on, at least right now, more focused on the photographic evidence. So with some planning and with flying the drone and taking the aerial photography, we're able to then have this, the integrity of the smokestack be inspected by a structural engineer remotely. No scaffolding is required, and can very quickly determine where repairs are required. And then a contractor could go and focus on those particular parts of the stack. So turning this project from a mini month project to just a number of weeks kind of project. The total cost of doing this versus the scaffolding approach was about 10% of that cost. So it, they didn't, this is also, of course, a solution that doesn't require really touching or mounting anything against the historical structure. So it's all done touch-free, I guess, which, of course, right. Touch-free has been the word for the last year, right? So for different reasons. So so that was a real benefit, so to be able to do that. And now that what that also does for them is, instead of looking at and examining the structure every 5 years, it allows them, since it's so less expensive, is to even do it more frequently. And maybe even catch some repairs when they're a little bit earlier, so mm-hmm. they're not as difficult to fix.
Right.
So that's kind of overall what was happening up in Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts.
So basically, you're as you said, you're taking a several month project, boiling it down to a little bit of flight time, and then obviously some data interpretation in the office. But this saves time, obviously, money, and maybe even more importantly, it's nobody has to climb up any scaffolding. Nobody's in any kind of danger. It's all it's like I said earlier, it's easy. I mean, I know it's not, but it looks easy, right?
Yeah, it's mostly complex about understanding the software side. So once you have all the data, it's on huge hard drives with terabytes of data on it, and when it's LiDAR. And then you also, if it's photographics, each photo is, and there's tens of thousands of photos, take up a lot of space. So someone has to know how to manipulate that. So there's different software platforms, and someone that's pretty skilled has to be able to work with that. There's not a lot of people out there with that skill, so that's one of the limitations in the industry. Also, for the drone, you're required to have a license, a pilot's license, specifically for that drone. So there's sometimes, not so much in Phillips Academy, but sometimes there's even like FAA clearance requirements, depending on where you are.
Right.
But you point out the safety issue, and thanks for mentioning that, because that's one of the profound benefits of using the drone and photography and LiDAR solutions is no one has to climb up or go somewhere where there's danger. It also allows you in different cases, for instance, if you have a feature, it could be a land feature, like a pond, a bedrock outcrop, a forest, or a structure anywhere, fence, power lines, anything like that. You can capture these from off-site. You don't actually have to be on the property to capture that information. And so for some property where there isn't roadway access, or if it's not your property, you can actually go and get very accurate pictures of it. So it really simplifies the whole process. And as you said, it's much safer when you don't have to send people in, don't have to put people on ladders and cherry pickers or on scaffolding to do this.
Right. And so we're seeing LiDAR more and more these days, as you know. It's coming up in all sorts of technology or uses in all sorts of different things. But there are still some limitations, and maybe you could talk a little bit about that and maybe how it impacts a infrastructure type of project like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those that are operating a drone to accomplish these, weather becomes important, just as like if you're anything you're flying. Weather, have to have good weather to be able to do this. And I think even in the Phillips Academy project, the first try, it wasn't a good weather day. So that's a little bit of a balancing scheduling. And if you have a lot of people committed to being in different places using the software, you have to juggle things around. So just like anything that's outside, it's weather dependent. Where I guess you could look at scaffolding, you can put a cover around it and individuals can work inside, and whether it's raining or not. But with a drone, you can't have too much wind, for instance, and too much rain.
Sure.
So that's a limitation. I think that also, depending on the use of LiDAR, it's sometimes as challenging to be able to discern what it is that you're seeing, because you're getting a lot of data points back, and it's not automatically labeling, you know, a rock versus the ground versus the tree. So it takes a lot of skill to be able to interpret what it is you're looking at. When the city of Chelsea, Massachusetts, we actually use mobile LiDAR to scan the entire city streets, picking up the fronts of buildings, the hedges, the sidewalks, the telephone poles, the traffic signals, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the LiDAR, it's kind of tricky picking up things like manhole covers, for instance, discerning them, top of curve to bottom curve, you know, a little bit better. So it's some artwork on that. The other thing, as I said earlier, just numbers of skilled people understanding how to use the what's called a point cloud. There are not a lot of people out there. We end up hiring people and often training them. So we send them to basically software school to learn how to use the point cloud. So that's another limitation of it as well.
Right.
We hope you're enjoying XYHT's Measure This podcast, brought to you exclusively by Trimble Geospatial, the most trusted brand in surveying. Find a distributor or product information at geospatial.trimble.com.
Yeah. Still, LiDAR as a technology is exploding and in a lot of different ways. How widely used is it now, do you think? And as we move into the future, how much more mm-hmm. widely used will it be?
Mm. Well, there's a couple things, and which actually brings to mind another limitation is the cost of the equipment. You know, 20 or 30 years ago, the only ones that could afford LiDAR were people that could spend millions of dollars on it, like the military. So the military is one of the early users of LiDAR systems. And but the cost is, as typical with all software, has been coming down dramatically. It's still a pretty expensive venture. I mean, it could be a couple hundred thousand dollars to have a whole setup with LiDAR, drone, and things like that, software. So that's an expense and it's an investment. So a firm has to have a lot of uses for LiDAR to buy their own. So many, many firms outsource that. I have seen that, for instance, very large construction companies will invest in their own systems and have their own teams to do this. There are at least one state transportation and highway department that I know has their own drone and their own LiDAR. But it's fairly unusual. It's still, as the cost is projected to come down quite a bit over the next decade, I think that's what's really going to cause it to become a truly breakthrough innovation. You know, a breakthrough innovation is something that takes something that's maybe very effective, but out of reach for a lot of people, and turns it into something that can almost be like mass marketing, easier to use, easier to operate, and easier to interpret the data, and the cost is lower. So I think it'll be a long time before we get to that. It's just the manipulating of a three-dimensional point cloud with hundreds of millions of data points in it is probably not going to be that easy in our lifetime, but it's getting there. So that's one of the limitations. And then it is just awareness. We still find that a lot of businesses, straight transportation agencies, even large utilities, aren't necessarily that familiar with it. So we spend a lot of time informing people about it. So within, you know, this organization, you know, there's broad awareness of LiDAR and what it is. But outside of that, it's still a big learning curve and awareness curve. So I think that podcasts like this are very helpful to help sort of spread the word that this is a technology, it's here to stay, it's very effective. We're just starting to begin to understand how it can be used, not just for inspections on something like a smokestack, but even, for instance, to monitor construction. You can actually fly in LiDAR and go out and fly the site once a week and monitor the construction, be able to examine it at extreme detail. Also, to be able to link this up with the design, the three-dimensional design, which is now becoming the mainstay in the design world. And you can also link this up with devices on the ground, where a lot of big construction companies are starting to use GPS locators on equipment, for instance, right, and when they move material around the site. So that's another safety feature. So that is, again, the bigger companies are starting to do that, and we're getting requests for people to have that ability during construction. So when you start talking mobile, it really opens the door as the cost comes down. It then even allows, they've seen the concept of even some facilities having permanent LiDAR installations that are just always mounted on the property or on the building and just in real time giving you a very accurate three-dimensional information on what's going on within that facility or on that property. And again, leads to a lot of analysis like how to manage a forest. How to manage a forest so that it's not susceptible to forest fires, for instance. You can really understand the vegetation with data, and the more real-time it is, the better. But again, this is coming, and I think as long as we keep talking about it and keep exploring it, we have customers who are interested in innovative solutions. I think this is the cost the demand will go up and the costs will come down.
Right. So maybe a good parallel is, you know, no different than the laptop computer or your iPad or even your smartphone. Thought, well, in our lifetimes, you know, it was the stuff of science fiction, and now it's everyday life, and LiDAR will become that way as well.
I think so too. And so in this particular example, it's really a historical structure, but it's really applicable to any kind of structure, and where it's not readily reachable through conventional, you know, hands-on or
right.
You know, truck mounted. So so it's pretty terrific to see that happening.
Yeah, bridge inspection and all sorts of things that are now taking advantage of the LiDAR technology. So for the Phillips Academy, does this now change the way that they manage their property?
Well, they are also, they haven't done it yet, but they are becoming aware that LiDAR could also be used to inspect the rooftops. It's a pretty big campus, many different buildings, and most of them have slate roofs. You know, everything's been there for a long time. So those slate roofs, as we kind of know just by looking at them, they're generally pretty steep. Can't imagine trying to walk on them because they're slippery. It's rock, right? Slate. So what better way than to have either photography or LiDAR mounted on a drone to be able to go up there and take a look at it. There's also multispectral attachments in addition to just the regular LiDAR laser that starting to be developed and used, where, for instance, on rooftops, you can look at moisture. You can look at heat loss. So in terms of managing and hoping to repair rooftops. So Phillips is looking at that now, is to expand this use to help them manage more of their infrastructure.
And from a little bit wider perspective, can you talk a little bit about other projects or other things that LiDAR should be considered for by not just school academies, but really almost anybody who has...
Sure. Well, I think that the construction industry, it's huge because this... for instance, one can go out and create a dimensionally accurate three-dimensional model of a piece of property even before you start building. That design is in the design of that structure, whatever it is, will be three-dimensional, and it can be linked in with the LiDAR data. One, and our company is doing this, can then actually plan the project by building the site virtually. So using the data that gathered from the LiDAR combined with the design plans, you can build the facility incrementally in virtual reality. That allows you to do all kinds of analysis on bringing materials and crews in and out of the site, safety issues we talked about earlier, and then examining different parts of the construction as it goes along and all the way through its completion just by combining frequent LiDAR runs of the property and processing and marrying up with the design. And so that's a huge market. I think that will be big. I do think that I mentioned like vegetation, forestry management is another area, agricultural purposes, because you can start to look at crops. You can look at their condition. Forest, you can determine what kind of trees they are and what the height of the trees are and you know, how healthy they are. So there's a lot of things like that as well. We have been asked to do a project for the Massachusetts Bay Transit Authority, the MBTA. It's our subway and commuter rail system here in Boston. And we've been looking at four train stations to be upgraded. So we're doing the existing and during construction and post LiDAR measurements to help them both plan and construct the facilities, for instance. And again, with virtual reality, you could actually simulate all this and actually have the trains going through as the project unfolds. So that's another example.
Right. And LiDAR is great for creating scans of as-built. Thing that comes to mind is the coincidental LiDAR scan of Notre Dame a few years before it burned, and how instrumental that's going to be in rebuilding that piece of history.
Yeah. And the other angle of LiDAR is the same kind of technology, but it's stationary, and it's a laser scanning is just what it's called. And for instance, we have one of the largest universities here in Boston that's asked us to take a look at using that to get to do a survey of the basements of all their buildings. Here in New England, everything seems to have a basement, and that basement is susceptible to flooding. We're looking at resiliency and climate change impacts, and they want to understand their risk for flooding and other things happening. So it's tens of millions of square feet of basements, for instance, to be documented using this method. So similarly, if you have an as-built, same as Notre Dame, you have the as-built of it. So then recreating it is more straightforward. In the case of this university, they can also do what ifs on planning for resiliency.
So let's finish up by talking a little bit about the future of LiDAR. You've touched on it. Where do you see how instrumental in daily life for the types of things you do is LiDAR going to be 5-10 years from now?
Yeah. Well, it'll find its way into a lot of things, not just with our engineering and geospatial survey perspective here at Meridian. But for instance, just everyday citizen, your car, if it's going to be an autonomous car in a few years, it probably is going to be using LiDAR.
Right.
That's right now the major technology used by automobile manufacturers to steer us toward the direction of autonomous cars. As I understand it, Tesla is not using that, but others are generally using that. So imagine that anything that needs to navigate, whether it be a piece of equipment in a warehouse, moving objects, whatever they are, to automobiles, trains, just helping people understand when it's critical to know what's around you, and in real time, it'll become a real time thing, like the autonomous vehicle use of it would be. So that's I think when the cost comes down, I think a unit, right now just one unit might be $75,000, and there's some studies that project in another 6 or 7 years, and it'll be under $10,000, and that's when it starts becoming affordable for a much larger part of the population, not only the individual but businesses and institutions.
We may see, and in fact, we may already have LiDAR on smartphones.
Yeah, there are some crude systems that will work on smartphones. They don't have that kind of accuracy, of course, as the expensive ones, but one can essentially use that software on a smartphone and scan the room you're in or whatever you are and get an image, a three-dimensional image of it.
Right, exactly. So you know exactly what you're...
If the super accuracy is not important, it's a way to do it.
Right. Eventually, you'll be able to scan your house and measure for carpet and make sure your couch fits in a spot and all that sort of things as you go out shopping for appliances and whatnot.
That'll be amazing. Yeah. And... if you could just do that from your smartphone in your home or your backyard, or that's I think one of the things combined that the costs may help people start using it. The software also has to be built for a lot of different uses, and that software has not been developed yet. So, but it's it will be happening.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the like other geospatial technologies of the past, it will eventually just be part of everyday life for all of us, whether you're a surveyor or civil engineering or just a school teacher or whatever, using it at home or for who knows what might happen in the future.
Yeah. And regarding the Meridian business, the example I mentioned briefly of us, LIDAR, mobile LIDAR, so it's vehicle-mounted LIDAR for the city of Chelsea, Massachusetts. There's very few cities that have ventured into that area. They have, and I think they're forward-thinking. The challenge is to understand how to best use it, knowing that while it's a wealth of information that can be used to design all their infrastructure upgrades, it's a base data for it feeds literally every kind of, whether it's a traffic signal or a road or a facade, it's a database for that. But once everyone, meaning of a certain instance, all the engineering firms and architectural firms start working within it, they'll understand how to use that data. One of the challenges we have right now is that there's a lot of firms that don't know how to use that data. So as it really catches on, what used to be earlier called an asset management platform, which is largely aerial photography plans with hooked to a database for managing utilities and streets and highways and traffic signals and so on. It'll become the LIDAR solution will become the new standard. And that's a massive market. Imagine doing this dimensionally accurate data collection on every city and town street. That's quite an assignment. So once the cost comes down, once everyone understands the benefits and limitations of it and how to use it, it's going to be the new way of managing assets.
Everything. The Earth Archive Project, which is trying to create a digital twin of the entire Earth using LIDAR. Yeah. Just some amazing stuff going on.
It certainly is. Exciting. And you can take the LIDAR, you hook connect it up to the three-dimensional design, whether it's the as-built or proposed or renovations. You then link that into virtual reality simulations that can help you plan and assess without actually going through the cost of building it. It's just a massive market and will improve a project because it'll allow us to look at managing facilities in far more detail.
Right.
Because it's something we couldn't possibly do manually down. It just would be too large an effort. But this is now bringing it down the scale that opens the door to look at things in a new, more creative way.
Right. It makes things that were impossible possible.
Right. And
okay, Doug. Well, thank you for your time. It's been fascinating. LIDAR is definitely a technology of the future, and if people don't know about it yet, they will very shortly. So we appreciate your time, and we will see everybody next time on Measure This. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff. It's been a pleasure.